Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God.
Well, as you take your seat, go with me to Hebrews in the second chapter as we continue line upon line, precept upon precept in the Word of the Lord. You know, that's a neat thing about this message today. Yesterday's morning's message, when I ministered on Saturday morning, I probably had at least a half a dozen people come up to me and say, "Pastor, I have never heard that message in a church, and I've been in church all my life, never heard anybody minister that subject before." Maybe that'll be you today. I want you to know something. This is not one of those messages, you know, where you beat up the devil, you got the victory, you know, all that kind of stuff. You get Holy Ghost goosebumps and you feel good. This is one of those messages that are just healthy for you. It's a message that helps you get strong. It's not one of those messages that most preachers want to preach. They want to preach something, you know, oftentimes will just tickle your ears a little bit so you'll come back. But I love you so much and I care so much about you. I'm willing to go out on a limb and I'm willing to share some principles out of the Word of God that maybe some of you have never really heard in this depth before and understand. You know why? Because I want you to stay strong. I want you to know that Jesus is coming. And when that eastern sky splits, I want you to know Jesus. I want Him to stand before you and say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I'm excited about that. And besides all of that, you know, I'm going to give an account for your soul. If I'm your pastor, I'm going to stand before God, give an account for your soul. And I want you to be just blessed. So I'm going to kind of share a message with you today that some of you might find a little bit abrasive. But I want you to know something. It's okay. It's good for you. It's healthy. It's like spinach to Popeye. And it may not taste so good, but it's going to make you strong. Is that okay? Let me read to you out of the second chapter, verse number 1. And it says, "Therefore, we must give a more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away." Remember last week, if we don't pay attention to what's important, do you remember that last week? If we don't pay attention to what's important, what we have is what do we place as important. We end up not paying attention to the right things. If we don't pay attention to the right things, according to that verse, we're going to slip away. We're going to drift away. We're going to have a problem, and we're not going to be where we want to be. We're going to be someplace we don't want to be. Most of us end up blaming God for it, and God doesn't want you to do that. So today we're going to talk about a wonderful little subject. Let me give you the title of today's message, and I might even have part 2 and part 3. I think it's part number 1, but I think God has spoken to me about carrying it on a little bit longer than just one time. It's called "A Subtle Slide Backwards." In other words, you need to know that most people don't understand that they're sliding backwards when they finally end up drifting away from the things that are of God that are so important. And I want you to underline, if you'd make a note, the word "subtle." The word "subtle" is an attack that you will find that comes into your life that you don't even know that you're under attack. You don't even know that you're slipping away. You don't even know that you're drifting off course. You don't even know that you're headed for a life of being a derelict. You don't even know it. You know that Eve, as she was deceived, didn't know. The word "deceived" means you don't even know that you're deceived. You think you're okay when in fact you're not okay. And that's what "deceived" is all about. And that word "subtle," here's the serpent that comes to Eve. And it was so subtle, she didn't know that he was planning on destroying her and him. It's the same thing in our lives today. It's so subtle. We could slip backwards so easy and not know it. And that's why the verse, if you'll pop up the verse one more time, if we don't pay attention to those things that are important, we're going to find ourselves slipping away, drifting off from that which is important, and find ourselves ending up in a place we don't want to be, ending up in a place we don't want to and having what we don't want to have, and ending up doing what we don't want to do, and we're going to blame God for it. So God is making it very clear to us that there's a subtle slide backwards, and we call that backsliding. Guys, it's something oftentimes and most of the times we don't even know that we're in a position of going backwards. We say we're okay with God. Over the years, I have known so many people that were turned on to Jesus for 3 and 4 and 5 years, eventually never to see them in church again. I will see them later on and they will make a comment to me like this. They'll say, well, you know, I got sick there for a while. I was out of church for 3 or 4 weeks in a row and I got kind of tuned into the television. I still had a relationship with God, you know, and I felt okay. And before you know it, I'm absolutely totally out of church. I'm totally away from the things of God. It was so subtle. All of a sudden I ended up in a place where I felt like I didn't need to go to church at all. And they find themselves in a place, guys, where they fail in life, fail in marriages, fail in their business, fail in their economics, fail with their children, fail in everything, all because they didn't recognize the subtle slide backwards or backward sliding. I love you enough to tell you some things. All of us that are in this room, if you're a Christian, I want you to hear me. There is a plan to get you off track with God and stop you from advancing and going forward. And to get into a backslidden position so that it will keep you from the benefits that God has for you and the blessings that the Lord has for you. So God gave me 4 things today to share with you. If I may share those 4 things with you, signs of backsliding. If you know the signs and you know the traps and you know how it works, and you understand how it works, most likely, if you're in that position, you can change. Or if you're one of those people that are smart enough to know that somewhere down the road, if you see yourself starting to slip backwards, you can make the change and turn around and get back going with the things of God. And these 4 areas are something that we find in Scripture that Jesus talks about. And we find in these areas how serious it is for us not to be backsliders. If you will, again, signs of backsliding, 4 things. Got your pencils? You ought to make notes of this. Here's 1, is when you stop advancing with God. When you stop advancing is so important so that we don't go forward, we stop going forward. Someone said to me one time, I know the Scripture, I've heard every message you could possibly think of, I've taught the Word of God myself, I've gone to Bible college, I'm sick and tired of hearing the same messages and the same all the time. Can I tell you the truth? The more I know about God, the less I know about God. In other words, God is so deep and has so many facets, and He is so wonderful, and there's always more about God to go forward to. There's more of God than you will ever experience in your human walk on this planet. There is no reason why you, I don't care how educated you are, how many verses you know, how smart you think you are, there is no reason why you can't continuously go forward unless you don't understand the process. Let me share with you. If forward is in that motion, and I'm going forward right now, before I go backwards, I will come to a place of stopping, and then I will go backwards. I can't go backwards while I'm going forwards. I have to come to a place where I'm not doing anything. And when I come to this place where I'm coasting, where I'm stopped, then I will go backwards. And it's so subtle, you won't know how it works. And if you're not going forward, then you are either stopped or you're going backwards. If you're not aggressive with God, if you're not hungry for God, if you're not wanting more of God, then you have either stopped and you're going backwards, which is the first steps, or if you will, listen closely, you are already going backwards. You got to understand, and so do I, there's a process to going forward. You got to stay stirred up, like Paul writes to Timothy. Stir yourself up. Sometimes we'll come into the house of God and we're waiting for some preacher to stir us up, and that's fine. But every day I've got to stir myself up to the things of the Lord. Every day I've got to keep on going with God. Some of you used to come to church 2 and 3 times a week. We're here 10 times a week. Some of you used to come 2, 3 times a week. Then you came two. Then you came one. Then you start to come every other week. Listen, I want you to know something. You're in a backslidden position, and it won't be long before you're out of church. Are you listening to me? Because this is your life. This is your future I'm talking about. Don't daydream on me right now. Listen to what I'm saying. If you're not going forward, then where are you going? Are you stopped? Because that's the first steps to not going forward, is when you stop with the things of God. Some of you used to be excited. Some of you used to pant for the things of the Lord. Some of you used to share times with God, get with God, read your Bible, had a morning prayer time where you were alone with God, and you've stopped that. And I want you to know something. If you've stopped it, that's the first steps to backsliding. And you've got to understand, God is warning every single one of us. We can't stay the same. We've got to keep on advancing. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. Now, I want you to listen to the words of God as we look at it. And while you're there in Hebrews, just go with me to Hebrews in the 10th chapter. And let me read to you out of Hebrews, the 10th chapter. Follow with me in the Bible. Here we look at the word of the Lord. We're talking about stopping. When we stop advancing, that's the first signs, if you will, to backsliding. In verse number 36 of the 10th chapter, it says these words. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promises. Can I stop you right there? Look back up at me just for a moment. We all want the promises. But in order to have the promises, you're going to have endurance. Some of your Bible says patience. You need patience. But I want you to know something. The real translation is endurance. Endurance is different than patience. Patience can be sitting and waiting. Endurance means you're processing your life and pushing your life forward. You're in a constant, perpetual motion forward. And here he comes along and makes this statement. You have need of going forward, keeping on doing what you're doing. Don't stop. Do nothing. So that after. Everybody say after. Oh yeah, come on, play with me. Everybody say after. In other words, after you have done the will of God, we want the promises now. We don't want it. In other words, what he says, you've got to go forward, keep putting it in, because after you go forward and keep putting it in, then the promises of God are yours. But that's what that statement comes along and makes. But verse number 37 says this, for yet a little while, and he, speaking of Jesus, who is coming, will come and will not tarry. Oh, thank God. Now the just shall live by faith. Verse number 38. The just shall live by faith. We've heard a million messages about that, but we haven't heard very many messages about the rest of the verse. But if anyone draws back, his soul has no pleasure in him. Can I just say this to you for a moment? When you read that, it looks like, well, maybe if I draw back, if I get complacent, if I treat God like he's something common, if I'm not excited any longer like I used to be, then God would be displeased with me. It's more than that. And the word is not really saying that he's just displeased and you're okay. He's really saying you're on a road to destruction. Destruction means you will not make it. You will be destroyed and you will be defeated. Listen to what it says. And how do I know that? Verse number 39 comes along. Let's just pop it up on the overhead. It says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition. Now listen, see that word perdition up there? That means, if circle it in your Bible, in the original text, it means destruction. He's talking about people who are totally and completely destroyed. Now I know that most of you came out of a once saved, always saved doctrine. Doctrine meaning teaching. That means once you get saved, you will always be saved. But I want you to know something. In the whole entire world, that kind of doctrine is being shown up as untrue and unreal. Because I want you to read this. Anybody that draws back from God, anybody that doesn't go on with God, according to even that verse, it says that you will draw back to a place where you will be destroyed. And I want you to hear what I'm going to have to say, because you're going to have to say it. Numerous times in Scripture, it says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Doesn't say it once or twice. Numerous times, he that endures to the end. What happens if you don't endure to the end? What happens if you give up on God? What happens if you backslide and don't continue? What happens? You think God is going to let a bunch of sluggards into heaven? Do you think God, who kicked out Satan and Lucifer because of a problem he had with his ego and didn't want to follow God, is now going to let millions of people in that don't really care about God but treat God as if he's nothing? Come on, get some wisdom. He that endures to the end shall be saved. You have the ability, and so do I, to walk away from God. You have the ability to say no to the things of God. You have the ability to treat God like he's not important or just something in your life instead of all important in your life. And when you do, and when I do, man, we are leading into a place of destruction. But we're not those kinds of people, thank God, but those who believe in the saving of the soul. Here's what I want to share with you today. You and I have got to come to a place where we are constantly not going backwards, not staying the same, but we are constantly advancing with God. Constantly advancing with God. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. Amen. Number two, we're talking about signs of backsliding. Here's number two, is when you look back at your old life. When you look back at your old life and you think your old ways were okay, and sometimes you long for them, you are in trouble with God. I want you to know something. Your old life was a bag of dirt. You were absolutely a failure, going to hell. You brought shame to God and shame to the world. You might as well understand that you were on the road to hell. And listen, and you didn't even care about getting there. Neither did I. We thought it was going to be fun in hell. But thank God Jesus came, gives us his life, lays it down for us that we can be saved. And for us to look back at the old ways, I want you to know something. That's absolutely going to tear you apart. The children of Israel, God brings them out of bondage with Egypt. You know the story. They get out in the wilderness, don't know how it's going to work. God wants to take them to the promised land. What do? They start complaining to Moses, and they wanted to go back to Egypt. I want you to know that's one of the biggest insults to God there will ever be. And he will hold you in a place where you will absolutely, you want to go back, you can go back. God's not forcing you to do anything. And you got to understand, and every single one of us that are in here, we cannot look back. We cannot think back. If you look at your old life, that was a horrible thing. I oftentimes ask Debbie, because she had such a bad background. Did you do this? Did you do that? She says, I'm not talking to you about that. I'm not going there. That was before Christ, BC, and there's something new in my life. I'm not going there. I'm washed by the blood. And that's the attitude that every single one of us need to have, is that we are not going to look back. You remember Lot and his wife? Here he's delivered out of this area where it's going to be absolutely Sodom and Gomorrah, be destroyed like a nuclear blast from God is going to destroy. What does Lot do? He's out. His wife, she's even warned not to look back. She turns around, looks back, and turns into a pillar of salt. What's that saying? He's telling every one of us, don't look back at your old life like you think it was good. It wasn't good. There's a new life headed for you, and there's one in the name of Jesus. Come on now, somebody. I love the scriptures. Jesus sometimes says things that are so shocking that it just shakes me up. Sometimes we've got Jesus as such a little calm little guy, you know, who's just kind of meek and met. I'm talking about this Jesus. He's tough as nails. He says it like it was. Don't you give me some picture of some little scrawny little guy that just didn't care about anything. Jesus was blunt. Jesus was bold. Jesus said it like it was. Go with me to Luke in the 9th chapter. We're talking about looking back and thinking going back backwards. It doesn't work that way. In Luke, the 9th chapter, are you listening this morning? In Luke, the 9th chapter, let's take a look, if you will. It's a big chapter, so let's take a look at verse number 59. Here Jesus is talking about men following him. And he makes this statement in verse number 59. He said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go bury my father. Now I want you to know, that seems like such a normal statement. Let me go bury my father. His father could have been old. Maybe he was ready to die. But I believe it's just that his father was getting ready to die. Or I believe his father was already dead. That's the way I would see that, just taking the word for what it says. And I want you to know, he makes this statement. He says, Lord, I'll follow you, but let me first go do something. Let me go bury my father. Now, wouldn't you think that Jesus, that's been presented to us, this loving, kind, and merciful Christ, would have said something like, go ahead, I understand your responsibilities with your family. Just go ahead and do it. It's okay. Then meet me down at the corner gas station. I'll meet you there and you can follow me from there. But he doesn't do that. Jesus makes a statement that blows you away. Listen to the statement in verse number 60. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go preach the kingdom of God. In other words, don't go back thinking what you're going to find is better than what's ahead of you. You and I cannot go back and thinking what's behind us is better than what's ahead of us. It doesn't stop there. Jesus goes on. Another guy comes to Jesus in verse number 61, and he said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. He's not just talking about general people. These are the people in his house. I would have thought, of course, you need to be a person that's a gentleman. You don't need to be rude. You need to go say goodbye to your family and all the friends that are at your house. That's what I would have said if I was Jesus. But Jesus is trying to make a statement to you and I that we ought never to look back. We ought never to talk about it as if it's better than it was. Listen to what Jesus says to this guy that just wants to go back to his house and say goodbye. He says this in verse number 62. And Jesus said to him, no one ever put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. He preserved those words for thousands of years, so that you and I could look into the very heartbeat of God and know that it is impossible for us to continue to go forward if we constantly look back at the day when things, the days are in the past, there's a future in Christ Jesus, and you've got to get off the past and get on the future. Somebody ought to say amen. We're talking about a wonderful subject. It's steps, if you will, or signs to backsliding. Number one, remember, stop advancing when you stop advancing. Number two, when you look back at your old life. I love number three. Here's number three, if you will. Hanging around sin. Sometimes we hang around sin and we don't even know it. We tolerate it all the time. We let sin and the office deal with us. We just operate around people that are full of sin. We let things happen in our life that are just contrary to the ways of God, and we just let it happen. When you tolerate, or if you will hang around that which is sin, that's what you will become. Birds of a feather, finish it with me, do what? Flock together. And what you hang around with is what you, what's that, finish it now, become. And you need to understand, if you're going to hang around sin, it won't be long before sin gets you. Remember how I said this last week with Eve? If she had just told the devil to take a flying jump at a galloping ghost, instead of carrying on a conversation with him, boy, it would have been a whole lot better. Because she carried on a conversation with sin. She literally hung around sin. Carried on a conversation, wasn't very long in a subtle position. He trapped her and had a hold of her. And sometimes we tolerate sin all the time. There's a story of a guy, and you know the story. It's Samson. Do you remember Samson? Long hair, had it all made, powerful in the things of God. What a great man of God he was. Delilah comes along. Can you imagine? She tricks him once. She tricks him twice. She's going to suck him down into the pits. He ends up losing everything, losing his life, losing his power, losing everything. What's the story about? The story is when you tolerate that which is not God, when you hang around that which is not God, when you become submissive to something that's contrary to the ways of God, it won't be long before it brings you to a stagnant position and then takes you backwards into backsliding, and you will lose it all. You will lose your family. You'll lose your marriage. marriage. You'll lose your relationship with God. You'll lose your children. You'll lose your business. You'll lose it all. Why? Because you made a choice, and the choice is you're going to tolerate and hang around sin. Debbie and I were really radical as parents. You know, we were radical. We raised our kids. We said, you couldn't watch this show. You couldn't watch this show. They still get together and laugh about how, you know, what was that story? What was that? Those little purple guys, we wouldn't let them. The Smurfs. We said, you ain't watching the Smurfs, man. They look like demons. They said, demons? What are you talking about? No, nope, you're not watching the Smurfs. And you may think that's crazy, but can I tell you something? All my kids are serving the Lord. They're all ministers by choice. They have chosen God. I didn't do it for them. They have gone to university. They have gone to Bible college. They have prepared themselves. Why? Because we held a standard up in our house that said, I don't care what you and your friends think. We don't like it. It's not good for us, and we're not letting sin in our house. And man, we put a stop to it. Is anybody listening? I love what the word of the Lord has to say, and this is kind of a cool little verse. Jesus is making this statement in Matthew 24. Have you got your Bible? Listen, have you got your Bible? Have you got your Bible? If you haven't got a Bible, I'm not giving you an expensive Bible, but I'll give you a cheap Bible just to get you started. Get into Matthew, the 24th chapter, and I want you to see it for yourself. He speaks in verse number 12. Are you ready? Here's what Jesus says in verse number 12. But because lawlessness will abound. You didn't get it, did you? We're talking about people who are hanging around tolerating sin. Because lawlessness will abound. You didn't get it. Let me say it again. Because lawlessness will abound. You didn't get it. Let me say it again. Because lawlessness will abound. Listen, sin and evil, things that are contrary to the ways of God, it's going to abound. But here's the deal. Not going to abound in me. Not going to abound in my life. So even though lawlessness is going to abound, not going to abound in my life. And because it abounds in someone's life and they tolerate it, the love of many will grow cold. In Revelation, the book of Revelation, here we find God speaking. He says, I've got one thing against you, this one particular church. He says that you lost your first love. Wow. You lost your first love. Some of us have gotten to a place we've gotten stagnant with God. We used to go and be more excited about God. You've got to be, again, a person that stirs yourself up and get going with God. The love of many will grow cold. That's not going to be your testimony. That's not going to be my testimony. We're not letting lawlessness get into our life, even though in these last days it's going to abound. There's no doubt about it. Darkness is going to get darker. Ugliness is going to get uglier. Sin is going to be more in your face than ever before. But you don't have to let it into your life, and you don't have to tolerate. Somebody ought to give me a great big amen. In fact, just out of fun, let's just pop up this verse, Galatians, the 4th chapter. Just put it up on the overhead for me. In Galatians, the 4th chapter, verse 8, listen to what it says. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. In other words, we served someone who wasn't God. And we served them like they were God. But now verse number 9 comes along. It's kind of a cool verse. But now, after you have known God, or rather known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire to be in bondage? Now he comes along and he says, man, what did they do? They backslid. They stopped in their advancement and they started going backwards. And they got to a place where they tolerated this sin and let it in, and they went backwards. They thought about where they used to be and thought that was better than where they are with God. Whew. Man. Which brings us to number 4. We're talking about signs of backsliding. Here's number 4. Self-absorption. When you're so absorbed with what you have, what you want, who you are, how to maintain yourself, you don't have time to hear from God. It's my life. It's how I feel. It's the way I've always done things. It's what my family has done. It's what we do. It's what I'm all about. This is the way I look. And let me tell you something. Let me give you a clue. It's not about you. It's about Jesus Christ. And what we do is we often find ourselves so self-absorbed with our own wants and feelings, we don't have time for His wants and feelings. Anybody know who wrote Proverbs? Thank you. Whoever said that, make her an elder. Solomon. He writes a lot of cool things under the inspiration of God. In other words, he obviously had an amazing, listen to what I'm going to say to you, amazing relationship with God. He heard from God. He wrote down what he heard from God. It is inspired in Scripture and held and preserved for thousands of years. Think about it. And he is full of the wisdom of God. Yet at the end of his life, even though he heard from God, had a relationship with God, God gave him the inspired word of God, he wrote it down, and millions of people every day read his writings. To this day, he backslid at the end of his life, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's in hell right now. In other words, you and I can have a relationship with God last week. We can hear from God yesterday. We can be filled with direction from Him tomorrow, but somewhere along the line, backslide and find ourselves out of sync with God, ending up in a failed position like Solomon. Solomon writes, and he should have listened to what he wrote. Just like you in here should listen to what's being spoken to you today, because there's a trap being set for your future. I promise you that. Right now, and it's so subtle you don't know it. So subtle that if someone said something to you, you would argue back, it's not true, yet they've seen it in you because you don't know. Proverbs 14, chapter verse 14 says it like this. Listen to what Solomon writes. The backslider in heart will be filled with his own ways. If that's not self-absorption, I don't know what is. My way is the way we're going to do things, not God's. My way is how I feel. I'll do what I want. I'll do what I feel and how I see things going. Let me tell you something, people of God. Hear what I'm saying to you. If you're going to do this, you're going to have to do it God's way, by His feelings, what He thinks, even though it doesn't fit with your thinking, even though it doesn't fit with your personality, even though it doesn't fit with your ways. It's not about your ways. It's about His way. Until we come to that walk, because I like what the New King James really translated the verse much better than the Old King James. The Old King James is hard to figure out unless you go into the original text. But the New King James says it like this, but a good man, that means a godly man, will be satisfied where? From above, by the things of God, not from his flesh. When you're self-absorbed, you will find yourself that you are a candidate for backsliding. And you will find yourself failing with God, bringing yourself into a place of perdition where you will be destroyed and your future will be lost. My goodness, don't let that happen to you. Before you stands a man of God who loves you enough to give you the insight into the Word of God so you don't fall, you don't fail. But someday you stand before God and He says, well done, good and faithful servant. And I can give an account for your soul. Thank God we're not here tickling your ears. But today you will walk out and you've just been fed a healthy meal that even tasted good. Come on, give the Lord a great big praise. We do that? Amazing, 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 amazing.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.